Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia. And this is episode 303 of the Colombia Calling podcast. I know you've enjoyed the last couple of podcasts, our emergency podcast 301 with Adrian Alsema of Colombia Reports, talking about the protests in Colombia, which are ongoing. So, of course, keep your eye on the news for that. And, of course, episode number 302 with Toby Muse talking about his book Kilo, which follows a kilo of cocaine from its production in the jungles of Catatumbo all the way up to the consumers in the North America. So fascinating. His book's out in March 2020. Keep an eye out for that too. This is episode 303, and we have a return guest. You'll remember from episode 277, the Brummy. Daniel Eggington from Birmingham in the UK was telling us about his plan to cross the western side of the Darien Gap, so the lesser traveled side of this very, very adventurous, maybe foolhardy, but certainly very adventurous trek from Colombia to Panama. So we'll be talking to him in segment three after the news with Adrian Alsema of Colombia Reports about his trip, which is only a few days away. We talked to him in Medellin, but by the time this goes out, he'll already be in Jurado in the Chocó, ready to jump off into the unknown of the jungles of the Darien. So don't go away. We'll be back with Daniel Eggington after the news with Colombia Reports. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
My name is Adrian Alsema, and this is the news for Colombia Calling for December 10, 2019. Colombia's police have escalated the arbitrary arrest of journalists who have covered police abuses during ongoing anti-government protests. One journalist said she was physically and psychologically abused. According to her, she was cuffed to the bars of her cell and forced to stand from the evening until late in the morning without food. Press Freedom Foundation FLIP said that it has never registered levels of police aggression like in the past 2 weeks. The massive and largely peaceful protests that began on November 21 have continued throughout the country. The strike organizers that are at the forefront of the protest demand a major shift in the widely rejected economic and peace policies of President Iván Duque. Police continue to be accused of trying to repress the protests, but with considerably less violence as before. Notwithstanding, dozens of protesters have been arrested without apparent reason. Until Sunday, the government continued to refuse to negotiate with the leaders of the national strike. In fact, President Iván Duque said that, I quote, "You don't construct democracy with impositions and ultimatums. Quite the contrary, you challenge it." The government's persistent refusal to negotiate is beginning to create cracks in the minority coalition in Congress. The president's disapproval rating has risen to a record 70% during the protests, according to Gallup. 75% of Colombians reject how Duque has handled the current situation, according to pollster Yonhas. Colombia's migration chief surprisingly resigned on Sunday in the middle of a mass migration of Venezuelans. Migration director Christian Kruger gave no reason for his resignation in the open letter in which he announced his departure. Kruger led the institution since the administration of former President Juan Manuel Santos. Colombia's peace commissioner has reopened the door for peace talks with the ELN guerrilla group. If the ELN complies with government demands, the door will be open, peace commissioner Miguel Ceballos told newspaper El Espectador. Ceballos' comment is the first in which the Duque administration expresses will to resume peace talks since a terrorist attack in Bogotá in January. That's the end of this week's news bulletin. Now back to Colombia Calling with Richard McCall.
Ah, yes, this is segment 3 of episode 303 of the Colombia Calling podcast. I'm here in Bogota, Colombia. My very special guest this week is Daniel Eggington, and he's in Medellin, about to set off on his trip to cross the lesser crossed path of the Darien Gap. You'll remember Daniel from episode 277 back in June. A lot of you have got in touch about Daniel's trip and wanted to hear more. So here we have him. We have him in Medellin on the line telling us about how his preparations have proceeded and, you know, what's new in his life. So Daniel, welcome back on the podcast.
Thank you.
Daniel, now, okay, so you've flowed in, you're in Medellin. I believe that around the 6th, 7th of December, you're going to be heading up to Vallesolano, and then from Vallesolano, you're going to catch a boat up to Jurado, and we're looking at a departure date from Jurado, an estimated departure date from around the 14th and 15th of December to do your expedition across the Darien Gap.
Yeah, so right, that's the aim. That's the aim, what I'm going for.
Okay. And in the meantime, since we spoke in June, what are the new developments, can we say? What have you, I mean, obviously you've been training. I think you've been up in the Brecon Beacons and places like that when I checked out your website. Of course, that's a very different temperature and a different altitude and everything else. But what else have you been doing to prepare yourself since June?
I've literally just been chasing up more sponsorships, more people to get on board. And it's been a slight success. But like I say, you get in touch with so many organizations and less than half of them get back in touch with you. The lack of knowledge for them to think, oh, it's going to be successful, or a commitment from them. It's just hard to guarantee support from like organizations to help, so to speak.
So what kind of organizations have you been contacting to try and help you?
It's literally more publicity, like, or equipment to help me get the project done as much as I can. A lot more communication equipment. I was aiming for some sort of risk management organization to get on board, and it's just been really hard, but I successfully got in touch with Iridium. They gave me a few brief Skype interviews, and they jumped on board with they provided me with an Iridium Go, which is like a small satellite phone, which connect my phone to it, so I can use it as a normal phone when I'm out in the sticks.
So on that Iridium satellite phone, you can be sending messages out via Twitter, via WhatsApp to tell people where you are?
Yes, and there's a tracking device and stuff. I can do SOS connected to it, and phone calls as well, which would be a good thing, just in case I do need to get in touch with my insurance or the Commonwealth Office. So it's an actual, I've tested it out a number of times, twice last week and once here as well. So I'm ringing back home with no issues. So it's working perfect.
Okay. So at the moment you're in Medellin, you're going through, you're doing a inventory of your devices and so on. Of course, you're going to keep us informed about your movements, because, you know, if we can help in any way, if you do get into any trouble, we'd like to help those of us who are listening, and myself here in Bogota.
Yeah. The more noise I can make, if there is an issue, the more it's going to benefit me.
Mm. And you've got the Iridium, you've got a GPS, you've got, I think, some beacon to alert. Now, yeah. You get up to Jurado, you're going to stick around there for a few days and feel, you know, feel for the place, get a feel for the place and see what's going on and approach people, I guess, try and find a guide. This is the plan.
Yeah. To stay in Hirado, there's not many people or information about Hirado, and there's one website that has pull out where and places he can stay. And when he was there, I think it was like 2 years ago. So it seems like he enjoyed it, and there is a place where I can stay. And then, like I say, get out and mingle as much as I can, communicate with as many people as I can, let them know my plans, and hopefully they can offer some form of help. I mean, any help will go a long way.
And so, I mean, Hirado, yeah, I'm sure it's a great town. All of these towns are full of amazing people and individuals. Obviously, you're going to have your senses about you. Who are the right people to connect with, and who are the wrong people to connect with? But this is, you know, Hirado. Your arrival in Hirado will be noted by all groups. Anyone who's working in this area, active in the area, and yeah, just be very aware of who you're talking to. And if anyone says they want to travel with an armed weapon, please say don't. You're going to be better off without a weapon.
Oh, well. And I mean, that's, I'd say, it just lessens the risk to me. I don't hold a risk by, like I say, not carrying, or someone helping me out carrying a weapon. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'll come across as a much less a threat or an issue to the organisations that are out there. And I presume there is, like I say, there is a number of them there.
Mm. Now, the aim of this trip was to highlight the nature and the biodiversity in this area, and to promote, I guess, a certain degree of environmental protection for this area. And you did get, I know that you were on, I think it was ITV News for around the Birmingham area where you're from, did a feature on you. Have you done another one since then?
I've met them. I met them last week, Friday. So they're pulling something, just before I left. So they're putting something together to, again, like, put more publicity out there for especially my local community in the Midlands. They're putting something together. And hopefully next year, with the footage I've got, they're going to put it into a more of a mainstream program. So I think it's like they're trying to get three episodes, or they're going to try and put it out three times a week, on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I'll start a middle and the end of all the footage that I've put together. So the message that I am trying to put across, it's going to, quite a few people are going to hear it, especially within the UK. And obviously, I'm going to try and put it to more educational organisations, local schools. So, yeah.
Now, and aside from this sort of environmental element that you're going to try and promote, the end goal of doing something as risky as this is what?
To make it into a living or a career, so to speak, because I do it anyway. I travel to places and I enjoy it. Well, I'm not making an income or a living off it, because when I'm in the UK, I will work as a youth worker or work with young people. Well, I don't want to do that forever. I want to do this as a career, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So a kind of expedition leader. Okay. Now, you've been reading up on what's been going on in Colombia in the last few weeks. You know, it's pretty tense here at the moment. Is this the national paros? There's going to be another strike on the 4th of December and on the 8th of December and so on. But if you're setting off around the 14th or 15th, that's pretty much when Christmas holidays start. So the government is banking on the Christmas holidays to dispel any more national strikes and protests. Do you feel that any of this might be, might affect you, might affect your travel plans, Hirado? I mean, I'm sure in these areas there have been what they call as the paro armado, where the ELN or whomever is in control You know, it just says, we're coming out, we're armed, and no one can open their businesses. If you're there during that, are you prepared?
I mean, I don't know how anyone could prepare for something like that. I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't even know how to answer it, but to prepare yourself for something like that, you just got to put yourself, go with the flow, so to speak. I mean, I don't know what I could do. Like I say, just show them how I'm not an issue, show them what I'm doing. Hmm. I mean, if they give me an ultimatum, it's, I've got to follow it, really. I've got to understand what they want me to do.
If you know, you're in Jurado and the aggression is there, let's say, you can feel the tension, the aggression, are you prepared to take the boat back to Bayo Solano and then the flight back to Medellin and say, listen, this wasn't meant to be?
As a person, I'm very strong-minded or committed. So it's going to be like the risk to my life that will stop me from doing it. I would say if they put me on the spot and tell me if I don't leave within 2 days, they're going to kill me. If I go north or go south or go to Medellin, if they don't want me in Jurado, then I'll say, fair enough, I'll go. I mean, I don't want to die.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to hear that. This is quite reassuring. You're not totally in a death wish. What have your family said about this?
I mean, I've tried to not expose them as much as I can. I'm saying I'm going to Colombia, I'm going to just go to a remote part, take pictures of wildlife and do like a wildlife show reel, so to speak. They're not, my brother is more aware of what I'm doing. But I mean, and he's got my insurance details. He will get in touch with the Commonwealth Office if I ain't contacted him. Or there's a certain thing like on my watch. If I press, like, they track through my watch because I've got one of the Garmin watches, then they're going to think that's how I've said to him. If I track through the watch, which will go to your email, then I'm in a problem. All the rest of the tracking means are okay. But if I track through the watch and it goes to your email, then raise it. With the Commonwealth.
Will you pass on my details to your brother as well, so if I can help in any way?
Yeah.
It's better to have people on the ground. It's not just obviously the armed groups in this area. It's of course the natural elements. I suppose that you're taking the pills for malaria and so on.
I have, yeah. I've got probably 10 weeks of malaria tablets on me. So it's one a week. And I started last week. So that should hopefully be more than enough time.
And you've had the shots for yellow fever?
Yeah, I've got all the, I've had the rabies injections, I've had the yellow fever, all the travel injection from the UK.
Okay, but I mean, and then are you prepared in any way for snake bites?
No, I have spoken to somebody over here who works, who, you know, where they do certain rural appointments. If you're a doctor or something, they go to work in rural areas. I've got in touch with a person who's done that, and they're trying to reach out with sort of anti-venoms and that sort of stuff. But in the UK, I've reached out to Tropical School of Medicine, but you need a poisons license in the UK, so you can't. I would never be able to get any unless I was a scientist in the UK. Mm. So there's possibility here.
Yeah, there's a greater possibility here at this end, of course, because it's our backyard. You're not going to get in trouble with venomous snakes, particularly in Birmingham, I think, or London. No. But so, what are your, you know, when we talk about this, and what are your greatest concerns? Because, you know, I could list off a dozen, but what are your greatest concerns over this trip? I mean, I'm sure physically you're up to it. You've been training. You are an athlete. Remind me of the distance you'll be covering.
It works out with the two routes I've did. It's about 60 miles, but that's with the two of them. So I will follow that as much as I can on the GPS I've got. But So I'm aiming for about 3 to 5 miles a day is what my aim will be. But that's easier said than done unless you're there on the ground hacking your way through pristine forest.
3 to 5 miles a day, 60. All right. So just a few. And then, you know, I mean, this is an intense hike, as you're saying, 3 to 5 miles a day, 60 miles. You've heard of the war photographer, the conflict photographer, Carlos Villalon. He's a Chilean who lives in Colombia. I mean, he's done it a couple of times, but I don't know if he's done it the route you've done. But he's, you know, his feedback is it's the hardest trek that he's ever done. You know, and he's done it a couple of times. It's a word of warning.
Yeah. I mean, I'm relying as much as I can on the beach. I mean, that'll be probably the flattest terrain throughout there, but once I get into Panama, the terrain looks a bit up and down a lot more from the images I've got. So yeah, the majority of it I would hope to be just in the tree line, so to speak, on the coast.
Okay.
So it won't be constantly up and down. Like, the central part of it is constant valleys, up and down swamps. So that's my wish anyway. That is a lot flatter on the coast.
So you're gonna hug the coastline
as much as possible.
Well, I feel a bit better about that because the image I was getting was you going through the center. So hugging the coastline obviously gives you, greater flexibility regarding. And where have you been getting your images from that they've shown you this?
It's literally it's older military maps, or the Russian military maps. There's a US military map from like the 70s and 80s. They're the most topographically correct or accurate I can see, because the most recent ones are obviously classified and that sort of stuff. And it's Google Earth as well, which is just a lot of trees. But once you focus on the coast, then you can see the coast a bit more through Google Earth. And also Garmin have their own set of maps, what they obviously do for their data and their product that they make. And they've sent me quite a few detailed maps as well.
Now, I imagine, and I might be wrong, but I imagine that there will be some, you know, sort of somewhat traveled footpaths through here, either connecting indigenous settlements or isolated settlements, and of course, being used by the armed groups themselves. If you get a guide, they're probably going to want to follow these pathways just for, you know, speed and convenience. In terms of security, you're probably going to want to go off these pathways.
Yeah, I just don't, literally. If I don't see anybody in the whole of the journey, that'll be ideal. Hmm. But I'm presuming, more than likely, I'm going to come across indigenous groups, 100%. And where there's villages like that, there are obviously going to be groups that have congregated there. So, I mean, the guide will be the expert and...
Yeah.
I mean, after.
Do you have something like a nice handful of cash or something if you have to bribe your way out of a situation?
I'm gonna before I've got about $500 on me, which would be ideal for when I get to Panama.
Yeah.
And then obviously I'm gonna get quite a bit of Colombian money just for Gerardo and Bahia Solano.
Okay.
If it's easy, I mean, like, I've got two different types of money. So I presume majority of them would want US dollars.
US dollars, yeah. Well, that's what's used in Panama as well. So, and the peso is terrible right now. So the US dollars would be far preferred. I'm worried about Jurado because they, you know, whoever's a spotter in Jurado is going to know you're there, and they're going to know your plans, because obviously you're going to be talking to people. So I'm worried about that. Now, there will be, I'm sure Jurado does have a police command station. And knowing, because you're going to have to check in probably with them, because it's these outlying towns usually require a check-in. You know, once you've, let's say, if you check into a guest house or whatever's up there, they'll have to register you, and the register will then be viewed by the police. because they come around to these places every day. And then they're going to come and ask you what you're doing. You respond in kind, and I'm sure they're going to try and talk you out of it. But they can't legally stop you, but they're going to try and talk you out of it. And so, you know, be prepared for this.
Yeah. I went to the Colombian embassy in the UK, and I was asking for, do I need permission? Because once I started speaking to people online, they're saying, yeah, you need to speak to this person, you need to speak to this person. And I always got this one name, Sermano Modesta. And as I've gone to the government, the embassy in the UK, in London, they're like, no, there's no legal restrictions for you. They can't stop you from going. So people are telling me already, through online, you need to get in touch with this guy. I've got emails that are telling me to get in touch with this guy. And I've got an email on me, which I printed off, which is from the Colombian Ministry of Tourism, which have granted me permission, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, they can't legally stop you. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah.
But it just makes it real.
And just a second, when you went to the embassy, the Colombian embassy in London up there in, you know, off Oxford Street and those areas, what else did they say to you aside from we can't legally stop you, but did they actually sort of voice their concerns as well?
They suggested other locations for wildlife and ruralness. There was on about Capogana and a number of other places on the other side, so on the eastern side, which is a lot more tourist trod. Mm-hmm. And they're saying it is dangerous, there are issues out there, and I wouldn't always, he said, don't always kind of trust the military. So he was a young lad, but he was stressing the issues out there.
And he said, don't always trust the military.
Yeah, and they ain't your friend. People that say they're your friend, they ain't always your friend. He was just genuinely trying to stop me.
Yeah. You need to, I mean, that's the thing. You need to be very, you know, very adept judge of character when you're up there. And I would venture that, you know, most people aren't out to help you. You know, they're going to look to you're a gringo. You'll be seen as having money. You'll be seen as meddling. And so people are going to take advantage of this.
Yeah.
It's a tough one, Daniel. And, you know, obviously I'm voicing concerns as well. I know I can't talk you out of it. You're like a mule. You're being very stubborn. You've had this in your head. I mean, we spoke in June, but you've had this idea in your head since for how long?
Oh, good few years since I watched one film about the dairy. It's called The Darien Gap, the film, and I started doing research on it from then. So it's got to be 3 years plus.
All right. Easy. So let's say you've been prepping for 3 years. And so this is not something, this is, we're not even going to say bucket list because it's not the end. But this has been on your list of things to do for quite some time. Now, if we think of the future, you get out, you're in Panama, you're promoting what you've done. Have you already thought about the next expedition?
I'd love to go somewhere in like Central Africa or follow some routes of old explorers. Mungo Parks, he did like an expedition up the Niger River. So he traveled through a place called Niger and Benin, and they have like crazy voodoos. Beliefs and stuff, and they're still doing sacrifices of animals, and I want to see that.
All right, so you've really truly been bitten by this adventure bug. Now, as someone who I used to work as a jungle guide and high altitude mountain guide back in the day before my knees went and everything else, and I've suffered. I am a malarial carrier, and I've suffered from hemorrhagic dengue at the same time. Let me just tell you that these are no fun. These are no joke. And of course, you're exposing yourself to further, further opportunities for illness out there. I don't know if in that area, if there's leishmaniasis. I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't know if there are things that are unknown to us, which is eminently possible. You really are taking on, I would say, one of the most challenging hikes around, especially in this hemisphere, in this side of the world. I know that your Spanish is okay. I don't think we can say you're fluent or anything, but you know, you really are taking on a challenge. And I mean, I will be thinking of you, as will my listeners, because I got a lot of feedback. I got people saying, do you think we should contact Migración Colombia and get him like deported? I got someone emailing me that, because those of us who work in tourism are obviously concerned, you know, and it's partly selfish. You know, if an English guy meets, you know, an untimely end, unfortunately, it doesn't matter where it happens. It just happens in Colombia. And that's the press, and that's what the Daily Mail will put on its front page. Englishman killed in Colombia. No one will read the small article about where you were doing it, what risks you were taking. They'll just see that headline and Colombia will suffer. I'm not a religious person, but I just, if there are higher powers, that they can guide you through this, please. I you've got a lot of responsibility on your shoulders, Daniel, and this needs to be recognized. I admire your tenacity. I admire your desire to do this. And I think maybe if I were younger and didn't have a child and a child on the way and so on, I might be setting off, but not doing that side of the more traveled side, the Capurganá side. I wouldn't consider doing the Western coast. So I don't know. Give me some final thoughts of how you feel about this, because, you know, obviously I'm, you know, voicing not only my concern, but concern for a lot of people listening too.
I feel like within the first few days, I want to do get as much of the trek done with whilst I'm, like I say, in reference to the tropical diseases, I'm going to get as much as I can do as far up the coast as possible when I'm strong and fit, as 3 or 4 days, constant, going as much as I can. But with the responsibility on the tourism side, and like I say, you run like a small tourism business yourself, I feel like it's an individual thing. I feel like it's a passion of mine, and I don't wish anything wrong or bad to come from it. But like I say, as long as people understand it's my own personal choice, and I understand the risks as much as I can until I'm on the ground, I'm just gonna, I don't know what else to say about it, but
All right, fair enough. Now, so you'll be updating us by Twitter and WhatsApp. I'm going to pass you my phone details as well after the show is off, so you have it. And of course, we can follow you on Twitter. Your website is merchanttraveler.com.
Yeah, right.
And that will be updated, I'm sure, just before you leave and when you get in to Panama, I hope, so that people can log in. So if you're leaving, let's say you're leaving on the 15th, what day, hopefully, do you think you'll be on the Panama side and checking in with us?
I'll probably be that the 10 days to Christmas. So I'm thinking, just if all goes well, as much as I can, I'm aiming for probably New Year, to be able to get access to the internet, update everything. But like I say, my wife, my Twitter and my social media will be updated throughout the trip anyway. And I might even make a few phone calls, and it can be updated to my website. I've got a person that will be able to do it because they'll have better internet in the UK than I will be able to.
So we should be following your Twitter. We should be following your social media. I'm sure you're on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay. So we should be following these things. What's your Instagram name, please?
Just my name, Daniel Eggington.
Okay. And around New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, 2nd of January, hopefully, we'll be seeing you checking in let's say in a a festivity of success, saying you made it through, posting your photos, proving us all as just negative spirits. But I please take every precaution necessary, please. I cannot insist on this enough. And I'm again off mic, I'm going to give you my phone number, and I expect to see around the 30th, 31st, 1st, 2nd of January some news from you having come out the other side. If I'm going to tell you now, by the 5th of January, we've heard nothing, I'll be speaking to some sort of authority here to see what we can do.
Okay, that's appreciated as well.
All right, 5th of January. So listen, Daniel, thank you. Thank you for taking this time. I've tried my best to deter you a little bit more. But as I say, if it gets hot and tension is high in Jurado, come home. Okay, so but in the meantime, just keep going through your kit. Make sure it's all working. Make sure you've got the right stuff. And keep your spirits up. And I wish you the best of luck on this trip.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for spending this time. And we'll be talking when you're on the other side.
Yeah.
All right. So we've been talking to Daniel Eggington, who's about to launch himself off into the unknown, into the Darien Gap. You'll remember him from episode 277, where he gave us a larger overview of his plan, and this is episode 303. So we're expecting Daniel, I'll just go over this again, around 6th, 7th of December, he'll be heading up to Bahía Solano, catching a boat up to Jurado, and then staying there for a few days, testing the water, finding a guide. And then on the 14th, 15th, more or less, around those dates, depending on, availability of guides and happens up there, he'll be setting off through the Darien Gap over 60 miles to come through into the Panama side, hopefully coming out around New Year's Eve, 1st, 2nd of January. We will keep you all updated on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, and so on. Anything I hear, I will pass on, because I know a lot of you have written in on Twitter and emails asking about Daniel and his plans. And of course, we are here to try and help him with his trek, because he's not backing down. So that's been me, Richard McColl, for the Columbia Calling podcast, episode 303. I know you've enjoyed it. We'll be back next week talking to another interesting interviewee, talking something about Columbia. And of course, once Daniel is out, we'll have him back on the show telling us about his experiences going through the Darien Gap. So thank you again for listening. Keep sharing this podcast over the ether. We've been doing very well. The strikes in Columbia have driven up our listeners, especially with the episode 301 with Adrian Alsimer of Columbia Reports. So I know that you enjoyed yourself in episode 302 with Toby Muse about his book Kilo, was very positive as well. Kilo, where he follows a kilo of cocaine from the jungles, from its processing plant in Catatumbo, near to the border with Venezuela, all the way to the dealers in Miami. So thank you again for listening, and bye-bye.